Penguin Random House Canada presents Hans Christian Andersen Lives Next Door by Carrie Fagan. Read for you by Veronica Ortiguela. Where did we get this story? Would you like to know? We got it from the basket that the waste paper is thrown into. Hans Christian Andersen, Auntie Toothache. Introduction, or me, the dimwit. I'm about to tell you a story about me. And while you're reading it, it's possible that you'll figure something out long before I did. There's no use yelling at the page, I won't hear you. You'll just have to say to yourself, wow, that Andy Gladman sure is a dimwit. Or you could use some other word, like fool, nincompoop, dunce, ignoramus, moron, or thickhead. And there are plenty more words that apply here. The thing is, most of the time, I'm not a dimwit. I'm actually reasonably smart. I get good marks in school, and I like brainy games like Scrabble and chess. I'm just trying to put what happened into some kind of context. Because the question is, how could I have believed something that isn't true? That's what I've been asking myself. I might just leave it to you to come up with an answer. 1. The Man in the Little White Car. One Sunday afternoon in April, a van pulled up next door. I was sitting on the porch, shelling peas into a bowl. Shelling peas might seem like something you read about in books on settler life, but that's the sort of activity my parents like me to do here in Meaford. That's Meaford, Ontario, Canada. A small town in Nottawasaga Bay, which is part of Georgian Bay, which is part of Lake Huron, which is one of the Great Lakes. My parents moved us here from Toronto when I was little because they wanted a simpler life, and they like when I do old-fashioned things. I don't mind, actually. Popping open pea pods is kind of fun. Although I did put my foot down when my parents wanted me to join a quilt-making circle. Anyway, I was on the porch when a van pulled up in front of the house next door. On the side, it said, Big and Little Movers. The house next door was attached to ours. It had been empty for over a year. Maybe that's because, like in a lot of small towns, the population of Meaford is shrinking. The grass was overgrown, the flower pots on the porch were empty, and flyers from a nearby food market were stuck in the screen door. Once in a while, my parents would go over to clean up the place, but I guess they'd been too busy to do it lately. Two men in overalls got out of the van. They sure did match the name of the company, because one of them was Big and the other was Little. They opened the back doors of the van and then the front door of the house and started to carry in boxes and stuff. It was the usual sort of stuff that people had. A kitchen table and chairs, sofa, TV. Except all the furniture was new-looking and most of it was white. The movers had quite a struggle carrying the bigger things because the big man held them up high and the little man held them down low. It seemed to me they would have been better off having two people who matched, Big or Little. Before the movers had finished, another vehicle arrived. It was a very small white car, maybe the smallest car I had ever seen. I think it was electric. The sort of thing you'd see on a TV news program, but that never made it to Meaford, where people prefer pickup trucks and campers. It was awfully cute, almost like a toy, and it tick-ticked up the street and then pulled over to the curb. The door swung open and the driver got out. At least, he struggled to get out because he was very tall. And he had a hard time folding himself small enough so he could slip out of the car. Like I said, the man was tall. Really tall. He didn't look like a professional basketball player or anyone like that, because he was so thin. He wore a light blue suit and tan shoes, and a thin red tie. After he got out, he reached back in to pull a briefcase out of the back seat. That was about all the car could hold. When he closed the door, the car trembled. He strode quickly up the walkway, leaning forward a little like a stork, and then went up the porch steps. Even though I was sitting on my own porch right beside his, he didn't notice me. He paused on his porch, and I peeked around the little wall that separated his side from mine, and saw him take something out of his pocket. Whatever it was, he stuck it on the mailbox. Then he walked into the house calling to the movers, "Hello! Hello!" and closed the door behind him. I stood up. I could feel my eyebrows rise, the way everyone says they do when I'm curious. I have heavy eyebrows for a girl, that's a fact. My mom says they're gorgeous and they give my face character. But someone else, someone whose name I won't mention just yet, said they make me look like a gorilla. The reason my eyebrows went up is that the man looked familiar to me. I got a good look at his profile when he walked up the porch steps. He had a high forehead, maybe because his hair was receding, and sad-looking eyes. And he had a very notable nose. It looked like a big triangle glued on. It definitely gave his face character. I decided to check out whatever he'd put on the mailbox. I tiptoed over from my side of the porch steps to his and went up to look. Letters. He had brought three letters, the kind with sticky backs that you can get at the hardware store. They were lined up on the lid of the mailbox, an H, a C, and an A. H-C-A. That sounded kind of familiar. But who was he? Who was the man next door? 2. The Family Business. Back in the city, before I can really remember, my parents used to have regular jobs. My father, whose name is Larry, had been a driving instructor, and my mom, who is called Bess, had been the receptionist for a sign manufacturer. I had a genuine red stop sign on my bedroom door that my mom had brought home from work. Not that it kept my parents from coming in. But Dad had become terrified that one of his driving students was going to smash the car in traffic. And Mom had had a mean boss who complained about everything she did, no matter how hard she worked. And so, finally, they had packed up and moved us to Meaford so they could run their own business rather than work for other people. For a while, they didn't have much success. First, they started Bess and Larry's Handmade Soap Company. But it turned out that there were about 1 million handmade soap companies. Then, they started Bess and Larry's Wedding Cake Bakery. Until it turned out that people wanted cakes that were bigger and fancier than they could make in our kitchen. But they didn't give up, and the third time was a charm, all because of me. They started Bess and Larry's Live Reptile Food. You see, a few years ago, I asked if I could have a pet lizard. My parents got me a leopard gecko, a knobby-skinned creature with big eyes and a fat tail, who kind of looked like she was smiling. I named her Godzilla, Zilla for short, and she lived in a terrarium on my dresser. Leopard geckos need to eat live crickets. They're miniature hunters and will chomp only on food that's moving. So every week, my mom or dad would have to stop at the pet shop in the next bigger town over to pick up a dozen crickets. I kept them in a plastic container under the kitchen sink, where they chirped away, ignorant of the fate that awaited them. One day, my dad came home all excited. He'd gone to the pet shop, but they didn't have any crickets. The owner told him the supplier was 200 miles away and unreliable. He never knew whether his order would come in or not. In fact,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?